Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The disciples of the Lord asked him to tell them of the signs which would immediately precede his coming again at the end of the world. He told them that many deceivers would come in his name, pretending that they are his spokesmen in order to gain a following, deceiving many in the process. He said they should not be surprised, for such is the nature of men who are bent upon establishing their own righteousness while not submitting themselves unto his. He went on to say that the wickedness of this world would continue as it always has, regardless of the manifestation of God's truth and the ongoing establishment of his kingdom, which is not of this world. Even though this kingdom is made quite manifest in this world, yet the natural man cannot see it or enter therein. He told them that the course of human history and the activities of nations would continue as it has since the beginning. Then he used the illustration of the common nature of warfare among nations, which has been going on since the very earliest days of civilization until the present hour, and according to him shall do so even right up until the end. Now just as surely as the nations of this earth shall have conflict with one another, so too it is a certainty that this world shall be in conflict with his kingdom. Therefore the children of the kingdom must of necessity be set in battle array against all that would set itself against him and the seat of his power and glory. James speaks of this conflict. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The Lord went on to say, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. While the nations of this world continue to fight against one another with material weapons of slaughter and mayhem, each one bent upon the destruction of the other, this is completely at odds with the nature of the weapons which those who are called as the subject of his kingdom and the soldiers of his army are equipped with. Paul said it quite well. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This sort of warfare is not pleasing to the flesh, which is constantly looking for outward signs of triumph, nor does it serve the interests of the flesh. The triumphs of this kingdom are not often readily observed, and sometimes seem tediously slow. As the Lord said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Though not satisfying to the flesh, the triumph of this warfare is certain, because the battle belongs to the Lord. It is with this in mind that Paul exhorts Timothy to war a good warfare. That soldier who is the most effective in this battle which is waged against the kingdom of God is the one who is the most certain of the outcome of this conflict. For those who have been taught of him who is the commander-in-chief recognize that it is he and not them who does assure the victory, since he has overcome all of his foes, triumphing over them openly. As long as we are in this present evil world, we can be certain that there will be resistance to our master's rule. The gospel of Christ is the chief weapon which is at the disposal of those whom the Lord has called to battle. And it is by this mighty power that all of the triumphs of the kingdom of God are made manifest. Imaginations are hereby cast down, along with everything which would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. This is the rallying cry of all who would fight a good fight, and is the standard which is lifted up against the enemy. A good warfare is that which recognizes to whom the battle belongs, and he who has triumphed gloriously. This is the purpose of preaching the gospel. A good warfare is that which relies upon him who is a very present help in trouble. A good warfare is that which rests upon the equipment and strength which he provides for those whom he sends to battle. The Lord will provide all things needful for the sons of God to be faithful to the calling which he has given them.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.